Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
You know, when Jaden Daniels converted that third and two, I said, holy mother of mercy, Jaden Daniels. And I didn't even think we would play Mercy, Mercy Me. Marvin Gaye on a playoff victory Motown Monday as the Commanders win 23-20 in Tampa Bay. And joining us now is our pal Jay Gruden, who, of course, was the head coach here for many years, and is our pal and our NFL analyst and Commanders analyst each and every Monday at 3 o'clock on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, F-150 headquarters. Ted Britt Chantilly of Lincoln, Chantilly Lincoln, I should say, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at tedbritt.com. And with that, the former head coach here and, of course, longtime offensive coordinator and our guy Jay Gruden joins us right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Hello, Jay. How are you?
Chris, I'm doing great. How you doing?
I am doing great. A victory playoff Monday. You know how these games, you know, every game in the regular season is hard to win, Jay. The postseason, a different wild card, for lack of a better term. I know when you guys were in Cincinnati, and you know, a lot of people would get over Marvin Lewis, right? Oh, tight, this, that, and the other thing, come up short. You had the game against Green Bay. You guys had the early lead, and then, you know, Green Bay got it rolling in the second half. How difficult was it, in your estimation, coaching in a playoff game versus a regular season game?
Well, they're quite different. I mean, the stakes are obviously at the all-time high, and that's what you play for, you prepare for, your training camp, your OTAs, your drafts. Everything is geared up to getting into the playoffs. You get into the playoffs, and now here it is, and it's a huge game, a huge opportunity for everybody, and a lot of pressure on every situation called in every play of the game. Yeah, so it's a lot of stress.
I mean, you felt it different when coaching on the sidelines during a playoff game versus a regular season game, or was it about the same? Even though you knew the stakes were
started,
different.
I just think the lead up to the game was a lot more pressure intensified,
gotcha,
the excitement going into the game. But I think once you got into the game, play calling, all that stuff, and playing the game has to be pretty similar to the way you got to that point. You
gotcha.
Know, you can't all of a sudden, hey, we're going to play better, we're going to coach better. We got to continue to do the things the way we did to get here, you know.
Yeah.
Fundamentals and all the process of getting there, try to keep it as similar as you can. And then once your game gets there, you hope your players perform at the best level possible.
All right, let's rewind, obviously, and we'll start from the end. The play that Jaden Daniels makes on third and two when Kalijah Kancey has him and rips his towel and maybe not dead to rights, but certainly putting a lot of heat on Jay. I mentioned not only does he not run out of bounds after he eludes the pressure, but then he turns it up the field. And if you look at where he was behind the line of scrimmage at his furthest most point, it was about 7 or 8 yards. And then he gets a positive of 4 yards. That's an 11-12 yard window. I don't know if Zane Gonzalez makes that kick, if he gets sacked, or if he takes a loss of yardage on that play instead of getting the first down and turning it into four and also helping kill the rest of the clock.
That was a hell of a play. There's a lot of plays you can count point to that were just critical that he made. They're unbelievable that put him in a position to get that field goal, win the game. You know, that was one of them. I think the third down and six where he completed Deami Brown in that same drive with four and a half minutes to go. was an unbelievable throw. I mean, yeah. He threw that ball before Diami was even out of his break. It was perfectly thrown, accurate, and that kept the drive going, which allowed Jaden to make the play on third and two to get him a field goal range. So, yeah, it was just one after another. You know, I wrote down three or four plays that I thought were critical. I just broke them down on a site. So, yeah, I mean, this guy just doesn't flinch. He makes play after play in critical situations. That's what makes him special.
Jay Gruden is with us. You can check out more on that at @Coach_Jay Gruden, @Coach_Jay Gruden with us on the BetQL guest hotline brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. All right. So, and I agree with you. And I think that throw to Diami on the third and six, was that the one where Bowles had the two spies and
yeah.
right? Well, and he's trying to basically split the hashes to make sure that he doesn't escape out either side. Did you like that from Bowles, even though it didn't work out for them, or did you think that was over-aggressive on his end?
Well, I think it was not aggressive, actually. You know, I would have liked to see him rush five and try to get mm-hmm. after Jaden, get some pressure on him. Instead, he rushed three. They still got a little bit of pressure, but having the two spies, he was tired of seeing Jaden escape to his right.
Yeah.
He mentioned it at halftime. He goes, we got to quit letting this guy get out to his right. And, yeah, so I think that was the main part of it. And that's what Jaden does to the defense. He's got them scratching their heads on the sideline. Let's put mm-hmm. a double spy on them. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. We can't contain them. And they're trying everything, and nothing works, because if you only rush three, he's going to dissect you in the pocket. And mm-hmm. if you rush four or five, he gets outside contain, and he throws it on the move. And he's playing at an all-time high level right now.
Let's get to the decision on fourth and goal, and it's the fifth time in this spot that Dan Quinn has gone for it on fourth down and various different yardage situations and spots on the field. But and we'll get to the rest of it. And he ultimately hits it with Terry. Like, I guess the thing that jumped out to me, Jay, not only did they execute it and get the touchdown and get the lead, but I wondered, like, they would have, if they would have kicked the field goal there, that puts you down 17-16. It doesn't get you tied. It doesn't get you in the lead. You're still down by a point, so you still need another score, even though you have 9.5 minutes left. Do you think that played into it, or do you think he was just pissed that they missed the defensive pass interference a couple of plays earlier on another fourth down on Zach Ertz with Levante David in wide open view? How did you read that out from a decision-making process?
Yeah, I can't fault any of his decisions that he's made throughout the year. He's been going for it on a consistent basis, so I think you got to hand it to him for doing that, and I think the players understand it. I think Cliff Kingsbury understands it. It's not like Cliff is, oh, my God, we're going to go for it, and he's not ready. I think Cliff is ready at all times on fourth down, and the players are ready, and they respond, and that's the biggest thing. You know, you can't just suddenly throw it upon your coordinator and your quarterback. We're suddenly going to go for it, but they've been doing it throughout the course of the year, so I think for Washington, it was probably the right call. For me and somebody else with somebody with another quarterback, I think a field goal would have been the right call. But when you have Jaden and the confidence level that he has in him making plays, I think it's the right call.
That's interesting that it would – yeah, I guess it would, you know, depend on, you know, time and quarterback specific. I guess you just kind of answered it. You didn't have a problem with the other fourth and, say, two situations where he's bypassing, like on the first drive of the game, and it didn't work. I think it was fourth and two from the 20, right? I didn't have a problem with it because I don't trust Zane Gonzalez. But do you think he's thinking, A, we have Jaden Daniels, or B, do you think he's thinking, I need touchdowns instead of field goals?
I think both, really. I think when you have Jaden Daniels, you're – ability to go for it is a little bit easier. You know, your guts grow a little bit. Yeah, I got big guy. I got Jaden Daniels. I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
That's the case with Dan Campbell and Jared Goff and Amonra, and then Jameer Gibbs are doing the same thing. Josh Allen went for it on fourth and one. He threw a ball in the back of the end zone to the running back somehow. I mean, these coaches that have these quarterbacks and the trust level that they have makes it pretty easy to go for it. You know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, they don't get them all the time, but when they do get them, it changes the momentum of the game and it changes the scope of the game. So there's a major risk involved in it, and Dan Quinn understands that, but he also understands he has a great quarterback that can execute and perform at critical situations like Jaden does, so it's easy to call.
You know, when you were calling plays, you had Andy Dalton as a young guy in Cincinnati. You had – you know, obviously the mishmash here at the beginning, but then you settle on Kirk. Now, Kirk, obviously, we know doesn't have the mobility that Jaden has and Josh Allen has and what have you. So that really affects, obviously, what your mentality, even though you have a guy that, you know, like Kirk is a good passer and a smart player, intellectual and whatever, and a quick release and can get rid of the ball quickly. When you have that dual threat and defenses don't know what you're doing and can't zero in and can't, and you can break contain and you can escape, that brings a whole different element to it.
Yeah, that, and Jaden's going to make it right. You know, Cliff might call a play that's not going to work against the defense call, but Jaden will make it right with his legs or whatever. You know, when I had Andy Dalton, we're kicking a field goal 100 times out of 100. You know, we're going to play good defense. That's just, I'm sorry. Marvin Lewis is not going to hesitate. I'm not even going to be prepared for a 4th-and-2 call down there. So, yeah, it's just a matter of the personnel that you have. And obviously, you know, we had good defense back in Cincinnati, so it was a little bit different. But, you know, and I think playing against Tampa Bay and Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield was hot. That's probably a little bit to play in it too. But I think ultimately it's all about the quarterback and the trust level you have in him, whether or not he can get it or not. And they obviously believe 9 times out of 10 or 10 times out of 10 he's going to perform.
And, you know, that was kind of the way it was coming in. I mean, I talked about it all week. They were 88% on fourth down. You know, and I mean, I didn't think it would be to quite that degree last night, but I was expecting 3, and we got 5. And they should have converted essentially, you know, everyone but one, and ultimately, statistically, I guess, they missed on 2. Jay Gruden is with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Let's start with this big picture. How did they – I wanted to ask you this. It seemed like, and NBC pointed out, I think Collinsworth pointed it out a couple of times, like that they were running tempo yet also substituting and getting different personnel packages in and screwing a little bit with Vita Vea. And maybe that's just big picture. So I want you to take me through that. How do you think they were able to do that, what seemed to be so effectively?
Yeah, tempo plays is a good thing to use against Tampa Bay with Vita Vea. You know, if he's on the field, you want to throw it, you want to use tempo, keep him out there for, you know, if he's tired or what have you. And if he's not in the game, you want to try to use tempo to keep him on the sideline. It's a good idea to have. And obviously it might limit Todd Bowles' ability to get some of his unique blitz packages on third down when you're using tempo. He can't get the right subs in. He can't get the call in. Some of those calls for defensive guys are, you know, hard, and it's based on formation and personnel groups. And sometimes they call basic fundamental or, you know, basic defenses when you're using tempo. So they use it pretty well, I think, last night. I think it's a great ad for them, and it's what they do. It's what they've been doing. And it's a stress on defensive coordinators.
Two plays that I wanted to ask you about from Baker Mayfield and the Bucs' perspective. I mean, obviously the fumble, which Wagner recovers, looked like a little jet fake, whatever. And then, of course, the missed time snap in which they then have to settle for the game-tying field goal on, I want to say it was 3rd-and-1. I could be wrong on
third
that.
3rd-and-1,
yeah. Yep. So we all know that football is such an intricate sport, right? And the precision that you guys develop these plays and draw up these plays and call and practice these plays, right? It's literally sometimes a half second, a quarter second between a play that works and a play that doesn't, especially with all the jet motion that we see, and especially if it's not just jet motion for eye candy, if there's a purpose to the jet motion, i.e. a handoff play, you know, in place.
Yeah, you know, that's what is amazing about Jaden. He uses all the stuff. He hasn't had any miscommunications, mishaps all year. You know, Baker on the, you know, they screwed up. They had 2nd-and-1. And then on 2nd-and-1, they tried to run a zone read, and Baker kept it, followed Bucky in the hole and got splattered. They had 3rd-and-1, and then the center snapped it early. Now they got 4th-and-3. They kick a field goal. And then the jet sweep play, he just snapped it late and missed the handoff. And that's, you know, they practice that. You know, they've run a jet sweeps all year. You know, Liam Cohen came from the Rams, and they ran it all the time with Cooper Kupp and those guys. So they knew how to do it. Just Baker just had a brain fart there and snapped it too late and missed the handoff.
Kind of crazy, right? You know, I mean, that's what you have a veteran quarterback for, and he puts up big numbers. And he didn't throw the killer interception last night, but he had the 2 mistakes, obviously, there, and one really cost them, and one you could argue maybe cost them a net total of 4 points. Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Anything else jump out at you, I guess, big picture-wise? What do you think of the defense in general, Jay? Because, I mean, Evans and Lattimore went at it at the end of the first half. I thought it was a fun, you know, good call on the defensive pass interference. A lot of fans were upset. They wanted OPI. And then he gives up the touchdown. But all things considered, even though they gave up the other touchdown in the third quarter as they got Bucky Irvin to the perimeter, all things considered, right? I mean, a huge win for the defense.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Tampa only had seven drives.
Yep.
You know, they had two touchdowns, two field goals, and then two punts and one fumble. So I think for the most part, they played good on defense. You know, they gave up a couple hits for sure. Mike Evans is going to get his catches. Hell, he's had 11,000 yards 11 years in a row. He's going to get some catches.
Right.
So, yeah, I think the defense competes. That's what I like most about the defense. They play hard, and Dan
they
Quinn
do.
Did a good job. I watched the film, and he did a good job disguising coverages, quarters, cover two, quarter, half, whatever it might be. The corner played cover two. The safety was on the other half. So, yeah, he did a great job of disguising his attempt, making Baker hold the ball. And then the most important thing is the offense just kept the ball. I mean, 17 play drive, 9 minutes. I mean, that's unbelievable. So the offense keeps the defense fresh, and this defense being able to fly around to the football is a great combination. They complement each other perfectly.
Jay Gruden is with us. Now you go to Detroit, and we all know how talented that team is. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that say they have no chance. I mean, clearly for me, it starts with Jahmyr Gibbs and whether they can corral him and contain him and not let him get to the perimeter and out to the perimeter with speed. Is that the number one key in your mind, or is there something else from a Commander's perspective? Is it just simple keep away and hope to, again, limit possessions and all that?
Yeah, I think Jahmyr's a key. Obviously, he had a great game last week, and he's a hell of a back. And then also the first and second down play actions with Jared Goff. He's unbelievable at those. But it's about the power, and they bring Skipper in as an extra lineman, and they try to bludgeon you with the runs. And
yeah.
Then the play actions off of it with Jared Goff. They're outstanding, and Jared has great anticipation, accuracy, and confidence right now in what he's doing. So, yeah, it'll be a stiff challenge for the defense. Offensively, I think they can get after Detroit's ass. I really do. I think they can have a good day. It's a fast track up there, and Jaden can have his way on the perimeter, and hopefully the running game will work a little bit better against this defense. And yeah, it's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, last time we saw Detroit's defense, you know, they did a great job inside the 10-yard line. They played a lot of man. They blitzed against Minnesota. I don't know if that's going to be the same game plan, you know, for Maren Glenn to try and make up for, again, some of those injuries. But if you blitz and if you play, you know, a good amount of man and you turn your back to Jaden Daniels, he might be able to break you down if he can stay standing.
There's no might about it. He will. This game is going to come down to fourth downs. I think it's going to be situational ball. Dan Quinn and Dan Campbell both go for it at an unbelievable rate on fourth down.
Yeah.
The teams that convert those fourth downs, and I think will be the team that obviously will have the upper hand. So it's going to come down to about four or five of these critical fourth downs for both teams.
Dan Dans, no doubt about it. All right, in lieu of running out of time here, I'm going to ask you not about every individual wild card game this week, but out of the four, what surprised you the most? Was it Houston's domination over the Chargers or something else?
Yeah, Houston for sure. That was a bloodbath. I didn't expect Houston, the Texans, to dominate the Chargers.
Neither did Rex Ryan, Jay.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. I picked the Chargers as well. I mean, the Texans weren't doing a very good job protecting the quarterback. They couldn't run the ball, and they got after Herbert, and Herbert threw four picks. He never throws picks. So, yeah, that was definitely a shocker. The Ravens wasn't a shocker. The Bills was not a shocker. I picked the Commanders, so that wasn't a shocker to me. And then tonight will be a hell of a game.
Yeah, what do you think of tonight? I mean, obviously, with Los Angeles being displaced to State Farm Stadium in Glendale, yeah, I know they're going to, you know, try and make it seem like a Rams game, and maybe it will. I don't know. But to me, is this one just about whether Sam Darnold can be good Sam Darnold versus bad Sam Darnold, or do you look at it in a different way?
Yeah, no, that's a lot. That has a lot to do with it. The quarterback play in the playoffs is obviously the most important thing, but I think the Rams' success has been reliant on Kyron Williams, but I don't think he's going to be able to have a success against the Vikings' run defense. They have very good run defense. I think Stafford's going to have to put it up in the air. That means they're going to have to protect against the Vikings' pass rush, and then vice versa. I think Sam Darnold's going to have to put it out there for Justin Jefferson and the rest of the guys, Hockenson. And it'll be a hell of a game, but I think the Vikings right now, just top to bottom, have a better football team. There's no home field advantage, so I think the Vikings will pull it out.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got the Vikings as well for a lot of the same reasons as you. Dallas, they kind of were toying around. It looked like McCarthy might be coming back. Now he's not. Now he's out. What is your sense of what to do there? I mean, Jerry can't be the easiest guy in the world to work with, yet he doesn't seem like a total jerk. How, I guess, tepid would you be if you're a Ben Johnson, if you're maybe a Cliff Kingsbury, and you're from Texas, and Jerry Jones calls? Like, what do you think would be, like, your thought process there?
Well, I think it's a great situation because they have a quarterback. I think Dak can play, and they got CeeDee Lamb, and they got Micah, and they – you know, they got some holes on defense, but I think those are fixable. Just having to deal with Jerry Jones and who's in control of the roster and all that stuff, you'll have to have great communication about to make sure you want to get the people in you want to get in. You don't want to just jump on. It's a hell of a job to have. It's probably the number one job in football that people say. But, you know, you got to work with the right people. You got to be on the same page. You got to understand what we need, how we're going to address the needs moving forward to make sure it's a team decision and who's pulling the rope. I mean, who's making the calls? Is it all Jerry Jones? Is it Will McClay? Who is
right?
Head coach?
So it doesn't sound like you would be like, oh my God, I can't work for Jerry Jones. Not that I expected you to think that, but like Jerry's got this, I don't know, this image of being ultra involved, which he is. He's, for crying out loud, the general manager of the team in addition to the owner. To me, that would worry me unless I was desperate.
Yeah, it has some concerns, but you have to have some talks with him and make sure at least he's in the meetings and listens to the coaches and the personnel department. He might have the final say in contracts and who he's signing, but make sure he takes all the input from the coaches and he doesn't go rogue and pick somebody that nobody else wants.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you don't want to have. So as long as they're all making the right decision together, then I think it'll work out. Because like I said before, it's a situation where you have a good quarterback already in place. Lyman's not terrible. They have some holes, obviously, as does everybody. Quarterback's there, and it's a good job to have when you have a quarterback.
Although he is coming off of a serious injury, but you're right, the quarterback is there. And CeeDee Lamb's there, too, and that helps. And Micah Parsons on the other side is there, and that helps. Jay, thank you. As always, good spot. Appreciate you, and talk to you next Monday, maybe perhaps after the Commanders shock the world.
Hell yeah, let's do it. Thanks, Chris.
There you go. That is Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly, and Fairfax F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. We'll take a time out, and when we return, yes, we're going to hear another step closer to the great one.
Well, we all know what Alex Ovechkin's going to try and do here. Saros heads to the bench. Two-goal lead. Stamkos will circle. And a puck blue line. Yossi got it blocked, and Ovechkin has it. It comes up Bruce Sutter. The great eight has given them what they want. An empty net goal for Alex Ovechkin, and the Capitals lead it 4-1. And for Alex, his 20th goal of the season, it is the 20th time that he has reached 20 or more in a season. He also gets goal number 873. He needs 21 to tie, 22 to break Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal record.
All right, John Walton on the call Saturday night in Smashville, baby. Smash that. Another win for the Capitals after the overtime loss on Friday night to Montreal. Alex Ovechkin gets it done. Empty net style. It's presented by our friends at Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local, put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Again, as John told you, goal number 873 for Alex Ovechkin. Here's one for you. Ovechkin had gone three straight games without a goal. And then he gets the assist early on I want to say that was Ethan Frank's goal, but I could be wrong on that. But gets the goal there at the end, obviously, to move one step closer. He had gone three straight games without a goal, including Wednesday night's game against Vancouver, a game that I was at. As a matter of fact, I've been to two Caps games since Ovechkin's come back, and he scored in every one of them. Well, not every one of them, but he hasn't scored in the two games that I've been at. And all I want him to do is score. That's it. And break the record. But congratulations to the Great Eight. Again, moving one step closer. Goal number 873. So that's 22 away from being the all-time NHL goal scorer. Again, presented by Main Street Bank. To your local bank, local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Thanks to Jay Gruden for joining us. Coming up, we'll have cleanup on aisle three. We'll bounce around to some of the other NFL playoff games. But first, let's do a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Now we have the conclusion of wildcard weekend in the NFL. Kickoff just after 8 o'clock from Glendale, Arizona, between the Los Angeles Rams, who are the home team, and the Minnesota Vikings, 14-3 off of that spanking by Detroit last Sunday night. Again, the game in Glendale. We'll join it in progress right around 9 o'clock after Maryland basketball here on the Team 980. A little bit later for that on 106.7 The Fan because of different broadcast requirements. So you have that, and the winner of that game will be heading to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles next Sunday in Philadelphia. We are brought to you by the Maryland Vehicle Theft Prevention Council. Maryland drivers, did you know a vehicle is stolen in Maryland every 16 minutes in the state of Maryland? The key to preventing theft is in your hands. Lock your car, take your key, use an anti-theft device. Learn more about vehicle theft prevention at mdautotheft.org. Speaking of Philadelphia, they'll be without N'Kobe Dean, who is out for the playoffs and perhaps the beginning of next year with a reported torn patella tendon. Mike McCarthy is also out as Cowboys coach. His contract expired last week, had an exclusive window. Sides couldn't get together on length and details, so the Cowboys will be looking for a new head coach, as was expected just a couple of weeks ago, but it did certainly seem like Jerry Jones was very interested in bringing McCarthy back. And from college football, Penn State, even though they lost a disappointing end to the national semifinal on Thursday night, running backs Catron Allen and Nick Singleton, both part of that tremendous backfield, have said they are coming back to Happy Valley for the 2025 season. The Wizards hosting the Timberwolves tonight. You can hear it on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app beginning at 6:45. Again, we'll have Maryland basketball right here on the Team 980 beginning at 6, and that's what's trending. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do as we bring you a little brick house. We're going to kind of scratch, clean up on aisle three and incorporate Dan Quinn, who's meeting with the media right now, in just a couple of minutes here on the Team 980. As a matter of fact, why don't we do Dan Quinn now, and then we'll get to Sean in Connecticut on the other side, because I want to let Sean weigh in here. So, Sean, stay tight. We will get to you. But why don't we hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders.
The belief they have, John, for one another, I think that's where this, not just belief in yourself, but belief in the person that's next to you, I think that manifests itself into like this, it's not a 12th man, but there's tangible, you can feel it in these moments that the support is there for the next guy to make plays, whether it was OZ or Diami or Marshawn on a big second and one stop. John, you know, just different guys, and you just, there's belief, and they expect that person to make it, John. So that's how it manifests itself, where it's not just one player, but just knowing when counted on and called upon, you know, those guys are ready to deliver.
This might be a silly question, but it's been a long time here since this franchise has had a quarterback like Jake. Maybe not. When you have a quarterback like that, obviously when you see the stats and the tangible results, but what kind of lift, energy does a quarterback like that provide a franchise?
It's a lot, honestly, because Jaden has such poise in these winning time moments, John, and that is contagious as well. I was thinking of we were talking earlier with one of the coaches. He has such poise, and one of my friends that I coached with in the 90s at Hofstra was Jay Wright, and it made me think of the championship game of Villanova and UNC. And if you watch, there's a clip of Jay right before the three-point shot goes off. He says, bang. turns and walks, you know, to shake one of the guy's hands. And Jaden has poise in these moments where he doesn't go wild after or lose his cool. He just has real poise in that spots, and it's the same whether it went well or didn't, and that's really hard to do. And so having poise in those moments, John, that's a really big thing, because the other players see it and feel it, and they have it in those moments as well. We practice it a lot, but it looks like we practice these moments a lot. And Jaden, in those spaces, he is just very much bang onto the next one and going. And that's a really cool quality to have.
Thank you.
Nikki? Hey, Dan. What do you make of the job Zane Gonzalez has done since coming in here and stepping up at a time of injury and just his play overall?
Yeah, and it was great to see early on, Nikki. I think it may have been a 53-yarder. I thought he hit it well, and he's really been doing that in practice as well, where he was hitting it good to go. So for him to be able to step up and deliver, and then also, you know, a game winner at the end, that's a big deal for us. He's kicking off well. He's playing it strong. So, yeah, he's off to, you know, on both sides, whether it's the kickoffs, because we have the most kicks in the league that are returned, and that's by design. And so that's also a big part of what he does. And so you don't want to leave it too early, Nikki, on some of these kickoffs. You want it right in that spot where it's, you know, the person has a chance to go. And that's a difficult thing to do from that far away. So I thought that's another part of the game that maybe doesn't show up all the way on the stat sheet, but it's really important to our field position starting.
And then, two injury-ish related questions. How did Zach Ertz come out of the game physically? And where is Marshawn at, just with his hamstring? Does he have the lateral quickness, the speed, everything he wants to do on the field? Is he able to do all of that?
It sure looks like that to me, in terms of like the competitiveness, the strength. We're still honestly working back all the way into it. So there's an element of that just from like doing the right thing to make sure we don't overload it into that spot. So it's a fine line to do that. But certainly, like, all he brings to us is a competitor. That's such a big deal for us, Nikki. And then I think you said to Zach. So, yeah, a couple of guys in sore will get bigger stuff into that one. The one that may be knocked out for this week will be Jordan McGee. So he re-injured his hamstring. So that'd be the one that's the biggest setback for us heading into this week.
Ben?
Hey, Dan. Just to stay on Marshawn, it looked like it's, at one point you guys changed the plan with him, where he wasn't traveling with Evans, and he was out for a few plays there for a stretch. What was the thought with how you guys were using him during the game?
We had I just wanted to make sure we weren't overloading into the amount of rep spend, so that was by design going into the game. So, you know, we kind of had a sort of a pitch count in mind. Not all reps are created equal for a cornerback. You know, think of a downfield throw compared to a run that comes to you. It's, you know, not the same stressors. And there was times where we'd match, sometimes where we wouldn't, but that was just by part of the call, where not every play does a player travel, you know, in all the spots.
Obviously, that's a very difficult position, and the game is called more towards the offense than the defense. But when you look at the box score, Mike Evans had the game that he had. How do you kind of assess that, knowing the challenge that's presented, but the production looks like, at least from the box score perspective, going in the favor of the offense there?
Yeah, I would say for us, it's about winning. You know, that's the name of the game. And so we love what Marshawn brings to us. We don't look at the game as one box score or one player. We look at it as a collective. And like I said, there was other plays that, you know, wouldn't show up to make a tackle to hold them to a field goal at the end. Those are important moments for us as well. So, and give, you know, Tampa and Mike their credit too. Like, you know, like, they've been excellent this entire season. So I don't want to shortchange that as well.
Sam, what's it do for the offense in the sideline when you guys are able to connect downfield passes, especially early in the game?
The explosive plays are a big deal. Run game, passing game. If we can do that, and I thought we did a good job yesterday of not setting ourselves back onto some second downs, whether it was sacks or penalties, ones that can make it difficult to go. So when you have these explosives and they can flip the field like they do, There's an energy that goes with that, but also our scoring chances, you know, go up quite a bit, Sam. So it's a big part of what we do, and I love the connection that we have. There were some really, you know, rock solid, strong. We thought Diami had some good ones. Terry had some, but just running through the catch, ripping the ball. This is a tough team to protect against based on the rush and the blitz package. So I know the guys had worked hard leading into the week of that.
All right, that is head coach Dan Quinn of the Washington Commanders off to Detroit and rewinding on a 23-20 walk-off win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night. Nothing earth-shattering, but when Nikki asked him about injuries, she specifically asked about Zach Ertz and Marshon Lattimore, not about Daron Payne. We talked about Payne earlier and how he returned. He had the broke, or what looks like, based on x-rays, a broken thumb. Didn't get any information, at least in the portion that we heard. We'll try and see if we get any more of an update, any clarification, follow-up, what have you. But he did mention Lattimore's fine. He said Jordan McGee is going to be out with a hamstring. He re-injured his hamstring, so you know, maybe he'll be put on IR. I'm not sure how that will work. But that's what he mentioned. And he said Lattimore's fine, but they're managing. So that was part of what you saw last night, which Paulie correctly pointed out last week, that he wasn't going to be on Mike Evans the whole time. And he wasn't. And that makes sense because, A, it's a very physical matchup. B, it's a lot of emotional energy. And you saw how physical the battle was late in that second half. And you also saw Evans get his way for the first quarter and a half, for the most part. But you know what? In the second half, and some of it was possession related, two catches and I think 26 yards. Not all of that was Sandra still. Some of that was Lattimore as well. But two catches, 26 yards. Did a much better job, obviously. And again, possession related, so that's a part of it. All right, let's get to our buddy Sean in Connecticut here before we break for Dumb Dumb of the Day and wrap up the show. What's up, Sean?
I'm good, Chris. I was telling Maddie, it almost like I'm kind of still in a state of shock.
Yeah, you don't know what to do with this, right? This is not your first one, but you were what, 4 or 5 years old the last time, right?
Three.
Okay.
So yeah, I wasn't really paying too much attention, but yeah, it's just there were a lot of times where I didn't think that I didn't know when I'd ever feel like this or ever feel it. I remember vividly. In 2012, right after we moved to Connecticut, it was the end of the season. They're playing the Giants. All they had to do was win, and Kirk Cousins threw a horrible pick to end the season. I just remember going outside. I had like a little Nerf football, and I just threw it down the street as hard as I could. I was just so upset, and it just feels like my entire life of rooting for this team was just moment of like that, just moment after moment of just heartbreak, agony, and just like pain. And at the beginning, or over the summer when we were calling in, something me and Linnell connected on was we want a team that we can be proud of. And I don't know. I'm at a loss for words. Like, I really, last night, I couldn't believe it went in. I couldn't believe they won. I was just waiting for something horrible to happen. And it's like all year, every game, when something bad happens, I'm like, oh, that's it. Like, they're going to give up. And every single time, this team has proven me wrong. And it's just, yes, it's a wild card game. And yes, we have a long way to go before we get to a Super Bowl and can seriously contend. But we have a chance. Like, Jaden gives us a chance no matter who we're playing, no matter what happens, no matter anything. And it's just, like, I've waited my entire life to have a quarterback like this, and it doesn't feel real.
No, the emotions are understandable, but, you know, and maybe you see it a different way than me. I mean, Jaden clearly is the guy, right? And the number one guy,
yeah.
and the guy that is going to get the most credit and should get the most credit and what have you. But, you know, for as much as we talk about all the good things Jaden Daniels brings, they don't win that game last night if not for Terry, if not for Diami, if not for the defense, if not for Cliff Kingsbury, Joe Witt, special teams, Jamison Crowder with the big punt return late, right? I mean, you know, Zane Gonzalez, as scary as that is, they don't win that game without a lot of contribution.
Yeah.
I mean, Dorrance Armstrong was great last night. You know, I'm trying to think. Bobby Wagner, I thought, was really good last night. Jeremy Chin was good last night. Sane Ristil was good last night. So I guess my point being is, you know, listen, I'm not trying in any way, shape, or form to take away any credit from Jaden Daniels. But we all have to remember, right, they can't beat Detroit 1 versus 53, or I guess on game day 1 versus 47 or whatever. They have to have 10, 12, 13, 14 guys really significantly stand up if they're going to beat Detroit. And it's okay if they don't, right? And that's not loser talk. That's just realistic talk, right? It's not okay to lose, but it's understandable if they lose. I should point it that way, right? It's going to take a superhuman effort from 12 to 15 guys in order to get this dub. It really will.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point. Obviously, it's a team sport for a reason. I'm just trying to drive home how we're not even in this position. Like, I don't think, and like, obviously Patrick Mahomes is an insane player and he's going for a three-peat for a reason. But like, I don't think there's a player in the league that means more to their team than Jay. And yes, you can argue Lamar, Josh, whatever you want to say. But this team without Jaden probably is like, we're picking top 10.
Yeah.
And it's just,
yeah, probably.
I've been on the verge of tears in the last 24 hours just thinking about this, because we have been suffering for so long, and we finally have a chance, and that's all we've ever wanted.
It's understandable. I know how important this team is to you, and obviously I could hear it in your voice, and I knew you would. You know, I knew you would say something essentially similar, because you're a good guy and you care and you have, you know, emotions. And that's one of the things I like about you. So I'm happy for you. I'm happy for your family and obviously all of Commanders fans that you have something to believe in. And that's really, you know, hope and belief is part of the battle. It's not the entire battle. It's part of the battle. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you. Congratulations. All right. When we come back, we'll put the lid on this bad boy. Don't forget, tomorrow, the DOC will be in studio. I'm going to try and hunt somebody down, and we will have that for you coming up tomorrow. But next, dum-dum of the day, and, we're going to go to the state of Michigan, which is where the Commanders are going to go, and maybe we might need some hot pockets. All right, we have to go quick here. Time to wrap it up and get a laugh or a shake of the head.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Oh, yeah, we go to Michigan, baby. That's where the Commanders are heading. Highland Park, I don't think it's that far away from Detroit. Mr. Dumb Dumb. A man walks into a Dollar General store in Highland Park, Michigan, and starts stuffing Hot Pockets. You know, ham and cheddar, pepperoni, pizza, Philly steak and cheese type varieties into his pockets.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. A hot
this
pocket.
Is real.
A hot pocket into your own pocket. Imagine that. Saucy, right? In a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Although, here's the problem. Store employee confronts him earlier this year, right? In this Dollar General. And says, man, you know, you can't take it. He had grabbed, apparently, a container of chicken wings. I don't know where you get chicken wings in a Dollar General, but he had grabbed a container of chicken wings, starts yelling at employees, and also threatens them to blow their head off with a gun that he allegedly has in his backpack.
What?
Again, that is scary. That should not be happening. The manager tells the alleged perpetrator to leave. They knew he was a regular customer at Dollar General. They knew him. They knew where he worked. So officers go to his workplace.
Next thing you know, he calls the chicken police on me.
And the chicken police found him not just in the break room, not just eating, but guess what he was eating? The Hot Pockets!
Salivating.
He said he did not intend to steal the Hot Pockets.
Sir.
He was arrested. And this is what we have to deal with.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
The Commanders are going to Detroit. The DOC will join us tomorrow. Thanks to Matty Ice. Thanks to Jay Gruden. Thanks to you. Happy Victory Monday, everybody. Craig Hoffman up next. Adios.